Thank you for joining us on the Children's Church of Christ podcast. We're glad you're here, and we hope that this message speaks to you in a way that helps you walk and live in community with God and in His kingdom this week. God bless you in your journey.
What a great problem to have when we have some kids down here walking away because they're upset that they didn't get a basket. We had so many kids, we don't have enough baskets to pass them out. So what an awesome problem to have. Well, good morning. I'm excited about this morning because it's been a month. It's been 1 month today or last week or a few days ago that we made a transition. We're doing something a little different. We've got a team of guys. We've got different things going on that's standing up here. And for the first time in a month, we're not going to be in Acts chapter 2. We're actually moving on. We're going to go somewhere different this morning. We're still in the book of Acts. We're still going to be there. But we took a month to set a foundation that we think is very important. When we talk about where we're going and what we're studying, we talked about this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, being this foundational verse of what everything we're going to be looking at, about them receiving power when the Holy Spirit comes, and that they will be witnesses, that he was going talking to his apostles to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this morning, we get to start seeing them work this commission and this promise. We've already talked about the power. We've talked about the Spirit, and He's not going away. He's going to be in most of the lessons that we talk about, the things that we look at. He is here, but now we're going to start looking at some stories of how the disciples, the apostles, and people took the power that they received, and they began to go out into the world around them, starting with Jerusalem, as we start to look at that. So if you have your Bibles, just like the story showed this morning, we're actually going to be in Acts chapter 3 and 4. We're covering two chapters today. It's kind of nuts. But these two chapters are one big story. It's one big thing. And I don't know what Jacob and Andrew are going to do in the next few weeks, but we're not going to read all of Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 here this morning. We're hopeful that what you guys are doing is that you are reading through Acts with us, that you're not just waiting for us, that you're staying with us, that you're studying together, that you're going through some things, because there's a lot to cover and we can't read it all. So we're going to kind of hit some highlights. We kind of did that a little bit with the video as we talk about the story of Peter and John going out to the temple, and they encounter this man who his entire life has been spent at the front of this gate. Your Bible may say the beautiful gate, where he sits and waits for alms. He waits for money. That's what his life consists of. And he comes into connection with Peter and John, who are on their way to the temple to go pray, to go do something that they do probably on a daily basis or a normal basis when they're in Jerusalem. They have access to the temple, and so they're on their way to pray when they meet this man, and he asks them for something. He says, "Give me some money." And they do some pretty incredible things that we're going to look at. And I think that just at the very beginning of this introduction, there's a couple of blanks on your outline, that we're going to see this rhythm with the Spirit. We're going to see this rhythm with the stories that we go through in the book of Acts, where these things happen a lot, okay? And the power of the Spirit working through the men and women that he chooses and the stories that we get to see to bring about a few things, okay? And the first thing we get to see just really quickly is that through the power of the Spirit, they get to bring restoration, okay? They get to restore the life of this man. It says, Peter said to him, "I don't have gold and silver. I don't have money that you're looking for, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." He took him by the right hand, and he helped him up, and he was instantly healed, his feet and his ankles, ready to work. He was strong. And so he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then something amazing happens too, that he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. there's this little passage, I don't have it up there, where Peter says to this man, look at me. Let me see your eyes. He didn't want the man to feel shame because he was asking for something. There's no shame in coming to God and asking for something. He says, look at me. I don't have silver and gold, but I will give you healing. And not to belabor this point, but we talked about it a few weeks ago. We get awfully caught up, and it's amazing to hear about the healing. This healing is amazing. I would have loved to have witnessed it. But I think there's something more powerful going on here than just the healing of his legs. This man's relationship with God was restored. There was something bigger than just walking. He got to go to the temple, which to us is, we don't always think about it the same way. But for him, for 40 years, he had no access to God. For 40 years, he wasn't allowed in the temple. He wasn't allowed to go worship. He was an outcast. And so what did Peter give to him? A restored relationship with God. Where he got up and the first thing he does is go into the temple to praise God. He goes in to walk and jump and praise. So this rhythm, the Spirit brings restoration. And then a little bit further into the story, the men that were in the temple, they recognized this man as the beggar. And they're like, this is the guy who's been out in the temple and he's asking us for money and he's walking. And Peter says, yeah, this is him. But this is not about me. This is not about my power. This is not about who I am. This is about the power of God. He says to them, fellow Israelites, I know you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had said through the prophet, that saying the Messiah would suffer. So repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, and that at the time of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Peter uses this time after they see this healing and they're witnessing him praising God. He uses the time to convict. He uses the time to tell a gospel sermon, just like he did in Acts chapter 2 when they saw the tongues of fire and they saw this all these weird things happening and they couldn't understand it. Peter took the time to tell them a story, to tell them about who Jesus is, and convicted them. So there's a rhythm, there's restoration, and there's conviction. And then something kind of weird happens. While they're speaking, it says that the leaders, the Sanhedrin, come and arrest Peter and John, and they lead them away. I mean, can you picture that in your mind right this second? I'm up here and having police barge through the door right now and arrest me and take me away for the things that I'm speaking about. And it's amazing. I heard someone say this week. It's like Peter's getting the handcuffs on him, and as he's walking out the door, he says, you can come forward while we stand and sing. Because they were convicted, and people came forward, and it says that numbers, thousands were added to the church. Okay? Thousands of people heard this message and were added. And Peter was seized. They were arrested. And then they ask him, and they say, you have to stop. You have to stop talking. You have to stop doing this. And Peter, always amazing, the people we get to read about. Peter, the same man that days ago, literally days ago, stood having Jesus arrested, going to be put on trial, and he is asked over and over, weren't you with that man? Don't you know who that man is? Aren't you one of his friends? And Peter says, nope, not me. That same man, now filled with the power of the Spirit, stands up in front of the legal system, in front of the Jewish legal system, and says, you have to judge for yourself what you're going to do. But for me, I cannot stop speaking about what I have seen and what I have heard. There's this idea that this rhythm that there is restoration, there's conviction, and some might even say persecution comes next. That when you start doing the will of God and doing the things in this world, that there's going to be rejection, there's going to be persecution, there are going to be people that come after us. And so I didn't want to put up there that the power of the Spirit brings persecution, but I think the power of the Spirit brings opportunity, a time for us to stand in the face of what the world will throw at us and say, judge for yourselves what you will do, but I will not stop. I cannot stop talking about the things I have seen and I have heard. That's what Peter does. And he goes back from this place. They let him go. That's the end of the story in Acts chapter 3, really. And we get into Acts chapter 4, and he's stood beside them, and he says these words. And then he goes back to the people. He goes back to the church that's gathered in Jerusalem, those who have been convicted and baptized, those who are now members of the church. And they gather together, and they begin to pray. They begin to pray and talk about who God is and what God has done for them. And we're going to get into it, but they ask for this boldness. They ask for a time of being filled with boldness. And the room shakes, and the power of the Spirit is poured out again, and then these men and women begin to act and live with boldness in their life. And so this morning, on your outline, you see an acronym, right? BOLD, B-O-L-D. We're going to go through that acronym. I had to do an acronym because my sister told me once that can't be a good preacher without an acronym. Or maybe she said, no preacher should do an acronym. I can't remember which one it is. So I don't have to do an acronym, but then she's not even here. She didn't even show up this morning, so it's not even fun. She's sick. She's sick. But I wanted to go through this acronym. I wanted to go through this idea of what it means to be bold, what that might look like as we talk about being a bold church. As we talk about being a group of people that read a story in the Bible that we weren't witnesses of, we didn't see, but still teaches us something. It still is applicable to who we are, okay, to be the same type of church. Not a church who's trying to get back to being a first century church, but a church that's just trying to do what God is asking us to do, to be a bold church, okay? And so there's a B, okay? Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Okay, in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, we see this idea of the church coming together and praying. We just talked about it. They wanted to pray, and they didn't just pray for superficial things. Okay, they didn't pray for little things to happen. They prayed for something they needed at that moment, and that was, we need to be bold. Because people are coming after us. Scripture says, they will quote Scripture. Scripture says, things and people and Satan and the devil, they're coming after us, and we need to be bold. And so the first thing they knew to do was to be devoted in prayer. And I hope this morning that this is a lesson that convicts, sure, but also encourages us, because I need you to remember that we are a church that, in my opinion, is devoted to prayer. I have seen it in the last month more than I've seen it in a long time, just witnessing it, just being cognizant of it. We're always praying, but my goodness, are we a church that values prayer? From our young people to our older people to a congregation of people. These are, I know they're hard to see. They're small. We gotta get bigger screens, Mike. We're a church that values prayer. We talk about it. We live it out here in these walls. We pray together. We value it. And I hope that in your individual life, in your family life, we're just as committed to what we do in these walls as we do outside. That we're prayerful and being devoted to prayer about the things that we need to do for this world. And for the things that we're about to face in this world, that we are devoted to the idea of praying to God that says, let me be bold. Let us as a people be bold. Let us be devoted to prayer. And then there's this idea of offering your story. Some would say witness, right? There's that verse, Acts 1:8, go be my witness. But bold doesn't have a W in it. So offer your story. Share who you are in God. I love this idea that Peter, we've seen it twice now, that he takes something that's happening right there in front of him, the world that he's involved with, the things that people are seeing, and he's able to take it and turn it into a gospel sermon where he can tell people about who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing and how they can be a part of it. Sometimes I think that we think that our stories are just the stories we find in the Bible. And I don't want to sound sacrilegious. The Bible is beautiful and wonderful, and there's stories that we need to hear and listen. But your story and what God is doing in your life is just as important as what I can read in Ephesians or Acts or Corinthians, because it's part of your story. It's who you are. Talking about what God has done in your life is valuable and important, and people need to hear it. People need to hear our story. I'm excited that we are part of a congregation that allows people, that trains up from the beginning to say, tell your story, to speak about who you are and what God is doing in your life. They're able to stand up and say, this is what I love and how God is working. But you know what's more valuable than standing behind a pulpit and being able to tell your story is how in our church and in our family here, we don't just talk about it, we live it, right? We teach people to go out and be part of a community and give what they can, because that's what we see, right? We see in Acts chapter 4 that they have this response, just like they did in Acts chapter 2. Not only did they come together and worship, but then they started doing something that's really kind of crazy. They started selling everything. They started giving things away. They started giving their possessions to people and selling land. I'm really sad that I'm not preaching on Ananias and Sapphira. That's next week. But let me tell you, being a part of a story and being able to share the things and that you're working through and doing for God is so powerful. It convicts people. It wants them to be a part of who they are, okay? Be devoted to prayer. Offer your story. L, love unconditionally. They, when we talk about them selling their things, when they came together and started putting things together and giving them away, they didn't have this notion of they had to meet a criteria, they had to live a certain way or be a certain color or come from the certain side of the tracks, or they just gave their stuff. They took care of each other. They loved each other unconditionally. I was part of a church before I came here when we lived in Nashville that had this questionnaire. When somebody wanted something from the church, if they needed money or food or whatever they needed, they had a questionnaire. And that questionnaire was, what are you going to do with the money? Where are you going to be? How many times have you worshipped here? Have you asked in the last 6 months? Have you... all this stuff for them to fill out. And then at the bottom it said, come back next week and we'll have what you need. Come worship with us next week. All I hear when I hear that list in my head is conditions. We're going to help you if you meet this, if you do this. And we don't find that in Acts chapter 4. We don't find conditions. We find, take my stuff and use it. Do things with it. And I tell you what, I'm excited to be a part of a church that does that. We talked all morning about stories of things that are happening right now, of people just giving away stuff. Sending money. I mean, I don't know what's going to be in these baskets, but I would say it's the power of the cuteness of children, but it's really the power of God working through the children to convict us to do things in this world. Love unconditionally. We're not always going to get along. We're not always going to be people that see eye to eye. We're going to disagree, and yet we love unconditionally. Even enemies can get along, right? Even people who just don't agree about things can get along, okay? Love unconditionally in what we do as a congregation. And then finally is do not fear. We just sang that song. Do not fear. Man, so easy to sing and so easy to say and hard to live into. But we're called to do it. We're called to be people who do not fear. Peter and John, these people, they say, we need boldness. We need the power of the Spirit to accomplish the mission. And God gives them that power. And then they walk out the door and go and do it. They don't keep making excuses. They don't keep saying, well, maybe next week. They just go do the witnessing. They are bold, right? They don't fear. Peter says, listen, we don't agree with each other here. You want to arrest me for the things I'm saying, but I cannot stop talking. I will keep talking. There are things that over the next year or two or three, I don't know how long it's going to take, there are things that we're going to talk about in here as a congregation. There are things that a new preacher or new people or whatever are going to bring up, things that we're going to disagree with. We're not always going to see eye to eye. We're going to love unconditionally, and we're going to make decisions, and we're going to walk in boldness. We will not fear what Satan's going to do. We're not going to stop working in this church because we're afraid of what's coming down. We don't lead. Our elders don't lead this leadership that's here right now. We're not leading out of a place of fear. We're leading out of a place of boldness. And it won't always be that we see eye to eye on everything, but we can still be unified and still love and still offer our story and still be devoted to prayer and still be bold together as we journey with whatever comes next. I was supposed to tell you, this is what happens when you add stuff in the middle of a sermon. There's an opportunity for you, if you want to be a part of a story, if you want to be a servant, we want to be more devoted to prayer. And so we're going to do a thing that we call, that you've probably heard of, intercessory prayer. That means you praying for someone else, you praying on behalf of someone else. So I don't know if you know this, but on Wednesday nights, how often do you guys meet? Once a month, twice a month, something like that? A couple of times a month right now, maybe more. There are committees meeting. Wednesday night, they're meeting about the search committee. They're meeting about finding a new minister, whoever that may be. There are going to be a committee that's being formed about working through our vision and our mission and what we want to be as a church. There are people talking about elders and deacons, and there's all kinds of things going on. And what we need is it to be bathed in prayer. We need, as a congregation, to be bathed in prayer. And so if you are looking for a place, if you feel like, man, I can't stand in front of people and talk, I don't want to lead prayer that way, or we can use you if you want to pray as a group or as an individual on Wednesday nights after service. While they're meeting and talking about the search committee and new members and new preachers, we hope some of you will stick around on Wednesday nights and go and pray together about what they're doing in that room. Praying for their wisdom, praying for their boldness, praying for their insight. We need to be devoted to that. This is important for all of us to make the best decision God wants us to make. Be devoted in prayer, offer your story, love unconditionally, and don't walk in fear. Boldness. That's what we find in Acts chapter 4. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are with your walk in God. But it'd be a good day to start. Whether you have to start over, whether you're needing prayer, whether you're wanting to be baptized this morning to talk about baptism, we're ready for that. We're ready to talk to you, pray with you, pray for you. Today's a day for a bold beginning, right? You're part of a church and can be part of a church that loves doing the work of God. I believe that. We are going in a bold direction, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Whatever you need from us, we're here. We've got men that'll be here to pray, elders down the hall, whatever you need. Come this morning as we stand and as we sing.